Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Thanks for tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio West. This is Isaac the Nothing Miller, and hope to have a good informative show for you tonight. While you're listening, you can tune in at kayakfishingradio.com, where you can find the chat room for the show while you're listening in. And you'll find all our links there for Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on both to keep track of what is going on with all the Kayak Fishing Radio shows. We have several of them throughout the week. They're all excellent. Definitely got to check those out. Last week was Outdoor Retailer. This is the huge, giant trade show bringing new kayaks, paddles, PFDs, and basically everything else kayak fishing that ICAST doesn't include. There's a lot of other things at the show. You know, anything outdoors goes. There's a lot of climbing gear, camping gear, hiking to kind of fill in between there. If you're into running, you go to this show. There's a lot of crazy stuff all over the place. I started out with the chance to put some of the newest and upgraded boats on the water for a few laps. A lot of new kayaks like the Ocean Kayak Tetra series, the Ultra series of the Trident line from Ocean Kayak. Diablo Paddle Sports kayaks had a little upgrade thanks to a Skeg. Of course, the Hobie Revo was out there. The weather picked up quite a bit, which was great because then you can really put the kayaks to some realistic use. And, you know, I loved it. You know, we had some good wind waves there for a while. I see Jason Self is in the chat room. He was there. He got to do a little bit of surfing even. We got some pretty cool winds going on for a few minutes at least. Should have seen the Hobie Adventures out there with the sails just flying across the water. One outrigger 2 feet out of the water. Funny part is the guys were still kicking at the pedals. Probably slowing themselves down. You know, didn't need to do that. Anyway, the Ocean Kayak Tetras, if you hadn't heard, they were announced a couple of weeks ago. They are awesome little boats. They, Jason says, somebody capsized. I missed that. Probably on one of the Hobies. I'm not surprised. I mean, like I said, they were flying across the water. And I don't think they really had a good idea of exactly how to handle a sailboat, let alone a kayak with sails. Crazy going, what was going on out there. It said the Ocean Kayak Tetras, they are really slick. These are 10 and 12 foot kayaks. They're kind of filling in the niche market of small waters, inland U.S., you know, small lakes, small rivers. And, you know, they come in 10 and 12 foot lengths, making them good challengers to the Trident 11. What I really liked about these two kayaks, they are narrower, for one, than the Trident 11. The Trident 11 is a very wide boat. What is it, like 30, 31 inches wide. These are much narrower, somewhere around the 28 inches wide. They have a more pronounced keel to them also. That combination makes them faster, and they paddle straighter than the Trident 11. I know getting out there, you know, I was five strokes into the paddle and wished that I had had one of these new Tetras last year when I was at the Lake Harding event of the Georgia Kayak Fishing Tournament Trail. They are a lot faster. They actually glide. Not a whole lot, because they are still short kayaks, but they actually have a glide to them. That keel helps them go straighter. There's pretty much no keel on the Trident 11. Makes it really kind of a sloppy boat without that. You know, from a fishing standpoint, because they are narrower, there is a little bit loss of a stability. But it, as wide as they are, 28 inches, I mean, there's still a good amount of stability to these kayaks. You know, so long as you're not standing up and fishing, you're not going to have a problem. If you really have a really good balance, you can probably stand up in one of these. But, you know, generally speaking, they're meant to be sitting down in all the time. You can sit side saddle, no problem. They're plenty stable, good fishing craft. In the angler version, they do come with the rear-mounted or the rear flush mounts like all the other or angler version kayaks out there. They're also available with the rod pod or the mod pod, so you can throw gear inside the kayak. The mod pod, of course, adds on mounts for Scotty rod holders built into the system. So it's a great little setup. They're really lightweight, so if you're just, you know, running down to the corner pond or whatever, it's not a problem to throw it in the back of the truck, throw it on top of the car, and head off to the lake. You know, I really loved these two kayaks. I have to give a shout out to Jim Sammons. He was the one that talked me into even trying these. I didn't have a whole lot of interest in them because they were so short. They were so small kayaks. But in all honesty, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, like they say. It was awesome. Downsides, like I said, if you're looking to stand up in a kayak and do your fishing, these are not the kayaks to go for. If you're on smaller lakes, on rivers, you want to cover ground, but you know don't need to do several miles at a time, these small kayaks are the way to go. If I remember correctly, retail price is under $1,000 for each one of them. I want to say $750 and $800. That makes them affordable in the world of fishing kayaks. They're pretty cheap, pretty inexpensive. You'll be able to find them soon on oceankayak.com. Definitely, you know, check them out. Head to your local kayak shop when they're on the market. Take them for a test run. I assure you, you'll be impressed as well. Diablo Paddle Sports, as I mentioned, added skegs to their kayaks. These flip down with the flick of a paddle, pull back up easily with a pull of a cord that's attached to them. The reason for the skeg, the kayaks are very flat bottom. There's not a whole lot of keel to them. So guys that have the Diablo kayaks, especially those with the Chupacabras, they didn't track well at all. They were a little bit difficult to paddle. This skeg, like I said, has resolved this problem, and the kayak / stand-up paddleboard hybrid, which this kayak is an exceptional fishing platform. For one, it has a tri-hull design. That makes it super stable. It has a 36-inch beam, again, making it super stable. And the combination gives it a very shallow draft. The average kayak angler plus gear, you're going to be able to float either of the Diablo kayaks in less than 4 inches of water. These kayaks are made to be stood up in. You can paddle them you can sit down, paddle like a regular kayak. You can stand up, paddle them like a stand-up paddleboard. That's what they're made for. Because the keel on these is very light, they're going to be a very maneuverable kayak. Makes them killer, along with the shallow draft, going to be killer on rivers. In fact, it was designed for it, tested out in a lot of small rivers in Texas. It's made for the lumpy waters. I personally can't wait to get a Diablo kayak. I know it's going to be killer here in Oregon on our coastal rivers, and I'm hoping to get one before the Bass tournament we have here next month. I know the Diablo Pot kayaks will be an asset in that tournament to be able to stand up, sight fish, and cast a bass. Check out DiabloPaddleSports.com for more information on their hybrid kayaks. Like I said, they're pretty slick, pretty well made. In fact, they're entirely made in Texas. Everything's there. You know, not a whole lot more USA than that. Also at the show, Yak Attack made a presence, and they actually fully rigged one of the Diablo Paddle Sports Adios kayaks. And let me say, wow. Looser Ciphers of Yak Attack has been busy. Always, you know, we all saw recently the new Carbon Pro safety light and flag, but now he's upped the rigging ante with the new Mighty Mount system. This is a mounting system for kayak fishing that Luther, himself a kayak angler, has designed. It's a very low-profile mounting base that attaches to the kayak. Once installed, it only sticks up from your deck about a quarter inch. So that's, you know, you're moving into flush mount territory when you're that thin. From there, it's your choice as to what you want to install, be it a camera mount, maybe one of his Carbon Pro safety lights, the Panfish or Panfish portrait camera mounts, or a ram mount ball. With the ram mount ball, you can naturally, you know, attach any of the ram mounts to the or ram mount rod holders, any of their electronics mounts. They even have gun holsters, you name it. It's all from RAM. Luther over at Yak Attack has also made a side mount transducer arm for, you know, setting in in-water transducers for your fish finder. These swing right over the side of the kayak. They can easily be pulled up, stowed back up on the deck so you can protect it in the case of shallow water or surf launches. Ideal for guys that want to or have side view and high definition display fish finders. Those do best when they're in the water. And, of course, the side imaging, they have to be in the water to be able to get that sideways image. This setup makes it real easy to do. You're not drilling any holes. The fish finder's in the water, so you're having an accurate display on your fish finder. You've got accurate water temperatures on your fish finder. And if you've got more than one kayak, it makes it real easy to move from one kayak to another. It's just a little screw. You unscrew it. It's like or a wing nut, really. You loosen the wing nut with a couple of turns. It slides out of the mount, and you can move it over to the next kayak. Super slick. One thing, though, that Yak Attack brought to Outdoor Retailer has yet to be seen on the internet. I've got pictures. I'm going to write about it for yakangler.com. Let me tell you about it right now. A universal rail setup. Think of the Wilderness System slide tracks. I know there's been a couple of times I wish I had some way of doing that type of mount on my kayak. Now, Yak Attack has the answer. They're doing small rails, anywhere from 2, 12, and from what Luther says, pretty much any length you want. It's a machined aluminum mount, very secure. It has several screw mounts all the way down the length of this this rail setup. It accepts all of the Mighty Mount accessories, such as the camera mount, the fish finders, or the transducer mount, and most importantly in my book is the ball mounts from RAM, just because that opens you up to anything you want to do. Like I said, it's really slick. You can easily adjust wherever you want your rod holders to be. You know, if you're at anchor in the river, you might want your rod holder on the right side of the kayak if you're along, you know, the left bank. Or if you're along the right bank, you might want your rod holder on the left side of the kayak. That type of thing. Super easy. Like I said, couple of twists, slide it off one rail, slide it on the other, tighten it down with a couple of turns, and you're in business. It's, like I said, it's super slick. He's going to expand this on into indoor storage. Makes it real easy to help organize your gear. Maybe you start doing one rail in the garage with all your salmon gear. You do another rail with all your saltwater gear. You know, it all depends. Whatever you want, it's going to be right there. Real easy to move from one kayak to another, from one storage option to another. You name it. It's going to be super slick, super easy to do. Like I said, watch yakangler.com for an article on all the new Yak Attack gear. We've covered some of it in the past. We're going to get all this new stuff up there very soon. And keep your eye on yakattack.us is the website. And you'll be able to watch that for availability on what they have to come. MTI, the PFD folks, also brought along a brand new fishing PFD for 2012. The Dio F-Spec PFD is really comfortable. It's got a high back design made for the seats that we all use in our sit-on-top kayaks. You can sit back in the seat, and your PFD is not hitting and getting in the way. So, like I said, that makes things very comfortable that way. It's pretty slick. It's got that. It's got the drop-down fishing bridge pocket that MTI introduced with the Solaris F-Spec PFD. But the Dio's up the ante a little bit with some very soft foam, making the jacket very, very comfortable to wear. It just kind of molds to your body. It's, you know, a lot of others, the foam is fairly rigid, and it's really not the case in the Dio. It's, I mean, you can really kind of wad up the foam almost. It's so soft. That's going to make it really comfortable. It's going to conform to your body type. And with, you know, a PFD like the DOF spec, there really isn't a single reason out there not to wear a life vest when on the water. Like I said, it's really comfortable. So, you know, you kind of get rid of that whole, you know, I'm not comfortable argument. It's going to be nice to wear. It's going to save your life when you need it. We'll see that here, like I said, probably late winter. Definitely in time for spring. If I remember correctly, it retails right around $110. A little more expensive, but it is still a great deal, especially when saving your life. Now, you heard me mention it towards the beginning of the show. We have a kayak bass tournament coming up. Next Adventure Paddle Sports here in Portland is hosting a catch, photograph, and release kayak bass fishing tournament here in Portland, Oregon. The tournament's going to take place on September 17th and is open to all waters within a 50-mile radius of the Next Adventure Paddle Sports store. So we're talking some really good waters. We're the Willamette River and the Columbia River is, of course, the easy ones to pick. They're right next to the store. They hold good bass. Hag Lake out in past Hillsboro. Of course, the last couple of Oregon State record smallmouth bass have come out of Hag Lake. Silver Lake in southwest Washington. Phenomenal bass fishery. Tons of fish. Big fish. Those are all within that 50-mile radius. Plenty of other waters all through the sloughs, small lakes. There's going to be a lot of great bass-producing waters in this zone. Registration and all the rules for the Next Adventure Yak Bassin Tournament can be found on the Next Adventure website, which is nextadventure.com. You can also find information on yakangler.com and northwestkayakanglers.com. It only costs about $20 and includes a post-fishing party at the Paddle Sports Center, trophies, there's some raffle giveaways. Where I'm going to be fishing, I'm not going to tell you. That's kind of cheating. I haven't decided yet either. A lot of water out there. A lot of good bass fishing to be had. Hard to pass up. Jason posted up about the Astral Sea Wolf. That is another great PFD that was new at the show this year, if I remember correctly. It was really slick, slick PFD also. Not necessarily kayak fishing specific, but it does have a big pocket on there. It's got a lot of padding. I really liked all the reflective piping, especially up on the shoulders where it needs to be seen in, you know, in rescue situations. It was a great, great thing there. Personally, I know some guys don't like to see a whole lot of reflective material on their PFDs. It thinks it scares away fish. I personally like a lot of reflective material on my PFDs and my kayaks, for that matter. I prefer not to be run over by boats, and I prefer the Coast Guard to see me if they need to. And all that reflective piping, reflective tape on the kayaks and boats helps that out quite a bit. Since Jason's here on the show, you know, he was on the show a few weeks ago, and I don't remember if we covered his little out of sight, out of mind paddle all that thoroughly. I know we talked about it a little bit. It's coming up, though, in November. Jason and several others are heading out into the Gulf of Mexico. They're just really kind of trying to gather awareness for what happened last year with the oil spill. They're cruising around Padre Island, the Gulf Islands, National Seashore, Everglades, Key West, the Delta, the Mississippi River Delta, National Wildlife Refuge, and they're getting out on their kayaks and just really showing the world what happened, what's going on, and bringing awareness to the whole situation. You can check out their setup going on, Out of Sight, Out of Mind, on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GulfKayak, GulfCayak. They're also doing some great giveaways. You know, get out on the water on your kayaks, collect some trash, catch some fish, catch some garbage, take pictures of the stuff that you're collecting, post them on their Facebook page. Last month they gave away a few pairs of Keen shoes, which I'm a huge fan of. You can also, this year they're giving away stuff, if I remember correctly, from Kokatat. Definitely worth, you know, doesn't take much to pick up a little garbage, take a picture, post it on their website, win some great stuff, and follow what they're doing in the Gulf this late fall and winter. They said they're doing some great stuff, and you know, stewardship is exactly what we need to help keep the water clean and keep our fisheries healthy. Otherwise, we're kind of going to lose everything. My good buddy Teague Stouffer said it best. Water is everything. You know, to paraphrase, we don't have to worry about cancers. We don't have to worry about people starving in our own backyards or in other countries. We don't have to worry about wars if we did not have clean water. Clean water is the most important thing. I can't speak as well as Teague can, but you know, water is everything. And these guys, Jason and his partners there at Out of Sight, Out of Mind, definitely going to be bringing us some some news from the Gulf Coast, bringing some stewardship and to the waters. And I know I definitely appreciate it. I can't wait to see what all they have to say and you know, follow, you know, their experiences out there in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, I haven't been fishing lately. I did get out once. A couple weeks ago, did a little bit of sturgeon fishing with my buddy Marvin on his boat. It's the only fishing I've done. But it looks like we're finally making ground on my back, doing a lot of work with the chiropractor and massage and physical therapy and acupuncture and all of that stuff. You know, prior to Outdoor Retailer last week, I hadn't even been on a kayak since the Oregon Rockfish Classic. My back seems to be improving. Finally went back to work today, so hopefully I'm going to be fishing here really soon. Hey, don't forget to check out our other kayak fishing radio shows throughout the week. Mondays, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, we've got Redfish Chuck bringing us news from Florida. On Tuesdays, we also have more news from the other coast of Florida with Rob Abad Backcast DeVore. His show, again, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. That's on right before my show here for Kayak Fishing Radio West. Wednesdays, we've got Mark Wheeler. He's bringing in the Atlantic guys, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And at the same time on Thursdays, that's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. We've got the Kayak Fishing Radio Roundtable Show with Chip Gibson. It's a great show. We get guys from and gals from throughout the United States calling in, chatting about kayak fishing in a variety of different forms. Any topic goes there as long as we're kayak fishing, be it what you're wearing, what you're catching, what you're fishing. All of that's on there. Check him out. Like I said, that's Thursdays. It's a great show. Got a little bit of fishing reports though that I have picked up. I know some guys made the first mothership trip out of Oregon yesterday. They did some tuna fishing about 60 miles off the coast. They got a ride with a local outfit. A couple of them got out on the water. Dropped their kayaks in, did some fishing, caught a bunch of albacore. You know, at least one blue shark was caught. Definitely good times. You know, 60 miles, they're not paddling out that far, of course. But they're out there on the water nonetheless and having a good time. Puget Sound, salmon crazy. I mean, we've got the cohos and the humpies and Chinook here in the Puget Sound right now. There's a lot of great places to fish. A lot of guys have gone out on their kayaks right out of Dash Point. Great place to go fishing. They've been slaying them there too. A lot of fish. Hasn't taken a whole lot of work. Pink jigs are the way to go. Buzz bombs, killer. This time of year, if you're in South Puget Sound, head down to the Nisqually River. It's a good place to jig up some Chinook. If you're in the immediate Seattle area, hit up the Duwamish River. That's where a great place to pick up some humpies. You can pick them up on the fly if you want. It's a very popular area. Definitely see what other folks are using. There's a lot of information on fishing that area. So definitely check it out. Of course, it's, you know, city limits fishing for salmon. It's killer. It's a great way to go. What else? Buoy 10 on the Columbia River. It's August. That means Buoy 10 fall Chinook. These are the biggest of our king salmon that roll through this time of year, every year. It's hard to pass up. Looks like there's some good fishing up in the San Juans for pink salmon, also called humpies. And yeah, like Jason pointed out in the chat room, buzz bombs on the surface, just trolling. It doesn't take a whole lot to get the pinks to bite. Buzz bombs, killer jigs. Like I said, you can cast, you can troll, you can jig them. Killer lure, super effective for all salmon species in the Puget Sound. What they're looking at, I don't know. I don't see what their attraction is, but hey, they work. That's all there is to be said about those. Saltwater fishing has been, other than catching a ride out to tuna grounds, from what I understand, further inland, the near shore fishing, been a little slow, but there are some flat days here for sure. The water's looking real good. If you're wanting to get out, do some rock fishing, ling cod fishing, I would suggest heading further out into deeper water, places, you know, at least 100, 120 feet deep at the minimum. Things are warming up quite a bit. These fish are going to be moving out to deeper water. So find those deep water structures. You're going to find the fish, and you can't go wrong with that. Jason's pointing out crabbing's looking pretty good. He released 40 crab last week. Jason, where were you crabbing? Was that Puget Sound again, or were you out on the coast? It's going to take a little bit to get that answer because the chat room and the audio are not exactly synced up. But I would imagine somewhere down, even around the mouth of the Columbia, if you're doing some buoy 10 fishing, you can do some crabbing there at the same time. His spot's a secret. Hey, fair enough. I can appreciate that. And, you know, crabbing the Puget Sound is always awesome. I've crabbed this time of year in the Puget Sound for the last 3 years. Have always done very well. I know last year there were some monster dungeness in my traps. Looks like he was somewhere on the Oregon coast. Hey, that's some good news. That's sounds like a good time to me. I know I'm going to wait at least till September till I start doing some crabbing. Tillamook's going to be the great place to do that. Of course, there's a million people crabbing there. But drop some crab pots, do some salmon fishing. Real good way to go, September and October both. But, you know, that's all I got. Oh, the guys in Alaska, killing them. They got pinks and cohos throughout the system right now. I saw some posts, catch of those reports. You can go over to northwestkayakanglers.com, and there's been a lot of reports there lately out of Alaska. They're all looking really good if you're looking for some salmon fishing. That's all I've got for you folks this week. Thanks for joining in, and I appreciate it very much for listening in, joining in the chat room. Catch me again next week. It's Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock Pacific time. We'll have another guest lined up for you all next week. And in the meantime, check out our other shows and tight lines, my friends. Have a good one out there.